John chapter 19. That's pretty good for somebody just asking you to come up and sing. That's not pretty good. That was awesome, wasn't it? That was awesome. It reminded me as she was singing, and what she said right in the beginning was, it reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? When they threw them in the fire, they had restraints. They had came out. They had the restraints were burned off, but they didn't even smell like smoke. God's good when He can bring you through a fire. I mean, if you go camping and you stand next to a fire, you'll smell like smoke. But if you go through a fire that's heated up so hot that it kills people throwing you in, yet when you come out the other side, all your restraints are burnt off and you don't smell like smoke, that's pretty cool, ain't it? So you don't be afraid to go through some stuff with God, because you'll come out the other side looking a whole lot better and probably smelling a lot better. John chapter 19, verse 38. Kind of stuck between two messages, but not really, because Wednesday night will be here and we'll preach then. I hope, Lord willing. Are y'all there? Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Well, that does work. Y'all can't say amen. John 19:38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea. Thank you. However you want to say it. Let's call him Joseph. Being a disciple of Jesus, this is hard for me to say this next part, but secretly. It's hard to say, isn't it? Secretly. That flies in my face when I read it sometimes, secretly. Why secretly? My dad taught me a lesson. I'll tell you about it after I read the rest of the scripture. But secretly, for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. I was talking to my dad, and I was young in preaching, young in ministry. And I had a radio broadcast. And I'd come to the end of the broadcast payment for the year, and I had switched ministries and switched churches. And the church that had where we were at was paying for the radio broadcast. And it was awesome. And so we come to the end of the year, and I said, all right, going into the new ministry, I guess we're dropping the radio broadcast. And my dad came by the house, and he's sitting there talking with me, and he goes, so son, what's the next year look like on that radio broadcast? I says, it looks like I can't afford it. He said, but God, did God tell you not to do it? I said, man, I hate that. Why'd you say that? Because I really didn't know. So then I began to pray about it, and God was saying, no, I want you to continue to do it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like $90 a week. And I told my dad, I said, it's $90 a week, and I don't think I can afford that. And at the time, I'm being honest, we couldn't hardly afford groceries. So I told Melissa, I said, I think God wants us to keep doing the radio broadcast. She goes, great, who's going to support us? I don't know. But my dad told me something that really was really cool. He said, if God's in it, somebody will provide. And he said, it's just like Joseph Arimathea. He came out when nobody else would. Amen? He showed up when everybody else is not going to be there. If it's God's plan, and it was God's plan from the Old Testament that Jesus was going to be buried in a borrowed tomb. So if it's in God's plan, if God's going to do it, then guess what? He'll provide the means to do it, so you just go ahead and trust that He's going to do it if He's put it on your heart to do it, and it's part of His eternal plan. Some of y'all need to hear that, because a lot of times you talk yourself out of doing stuff that God wants you to do because of a financial matter, or maybe because of what other people might think about you, but you got to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. On the way here, we were worshiping in the car, and I leaned over and I said to Melissa, who was sitting in the back seat, because Peyton's so cool that he rides in the front. And she's all right with that, I guess. But I said, remember, I said, timing stinks. The timing stinks. She goes, what? I said, remember to tell me that the timing stinks. She's like, I can't hear you. I said, I don't know, I've said it enough now, I'll remember it. That's how my mind works. If I say it 3 or 4 times, I got it. The timing stinks for Joseph, don't it? Does the timing sometimes stink for you? It stinks for me. When God wants me to do something, it would be better if everybody else was doing it. It would be better if it was clear. It would be better if it wasn't messy. But guess what? Jesus is dead. His body has been beaten beyond all recognition, and they've lowered him from the cross. And now listen, I'm preaching to you. Everybody else has took off. Peter, James, John, all the apostles and disciples have left. And all of a sudden now, it's time for secret disciple to show up. What a crazy time to have to show up. Wouldn't it have been easier if Joseph would have showed up before he died? Or wait a minute, come on, can I be real with you? How about 3 days from now? Did y'all catch that? If you didn't, you need to do a Bible study. In 3 days, Jesus will be alive. But Joseph's faith is activated in the scariest time there is to be a Christian. When nobody else is going to stand up, when nobody else is going to take hold, when nobody else is going to say, yeah, this is great timing. It's going to be you, and you're standing up and going, now I'm going to show. Now. He said he didn't show himself because of the fear of the Jews. Do you think the Jews were more or less apt to hurt you now? It's more apt to, because now Jesus is dead. I'll stand up. Jesus has got bad timing sometimes for you. He'll have you stand up. He'll have you do something. He'll have you grab the body of Christ when everybody else is leaving. And it's going to be all right, because it's in His plan. It's going to be all right. If none go with me, I'm still taking Jesus. If none go with me, I guess I'll just go. Amen? Now, there's one other person I'm going to get to, but this is crazy timing. In my time of being a Christian, God has done this to me several times. It would be easier to be quiet. It would be easier to wait. But not today, because Jesus needs a tomb to be buried in. Wait a minute, I don't even sound right. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and I put my trust and faith in Him, but my calling is to bury the thing that shouldn't be buried, God. Whew! Sometimes it's hard to choke up on what you have to do. When you have to tell somebody what you're doing, what are you doing? Well, I can remember when me and Melissa first got into ministry, and I was telling her mom and dad and her family that I'm taking her girl, their girl out of Georgia. Well, where are y'all going? Did you get another job with Shaw? Is there another big job? We're going into a boys' home. Your wife and your two small children, and you're going into a what? What kind of boys? Well, boys that kind of, you know, got out of school, their parents are drug addicted, they're kind of a little in trouble, and we got some of them from the YDC, you know, your typical delinquent children. And you're taking my girl where? Well, how much money does it pay? I really don't think it's going to pay as much as my current job, but I'm hoping that we can make ends meet. Huh? Are you insane? Yeah, kinda. Why? Because it don't seem like the timing's right. It don't seem like I should go, but God's wanting me to. And I'm picking something up, and I'm taking something that a whole lot of people don't want to take, but for some reason, Jesus wants me to take it. There's going to be times you're going to have to pick up and take some stuff for God, and there ain't nobody else going to take it up. There ain't nobody going to agree with you. There ain't nobody going to go, man, you're doing great stuff. They're going to go, are you mental? You will give up that to do that? You mean you're going to take it now? I mean, I wish y'all could get your mind wrapped around like this. I see it. I see it like a movie. I mean, I'm running this thing like film clips. I see him picking up Jesus' dead body, walking through the streets of Jerusalem with the body of Christ, and everybody looking at him like, you're a nut. I mean, everybody should know by now, he's got Nicodemus with him, which is a strange partner in crime. God, I could preach another hour on this right here, Rick. God will hook you up with some weirdos. Why did I say Rick? I don't know. But he will hook you up with some strange people. But the reason you're strange is because you both love Jesus and your backgrounds don't mix. You were afraid of God preaching. Hey, I was afraid of the Jews. I didn't want to come out as a Christian, but I do. But now I'm carrying the body of Jesus with a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee, Nicodemus. In his mufflers, wimplers, crisping pins, he's got all 12 stones on his chest. I mean, this dude is a rabbi. He is a man. I mean, he goes to the temple and prays. I mean, and I don't know if he's got the feet or the head of Jesus, and here you are, some rich dude. Hallelujah. Praise some rich guy who's got a good plot to be buried in. And y'all are carrying Jesus through the streets. Man, you don't think you got to have some thick skin? You don't think you're going to have to learn that not get your feelings hurt every time somebody says something? Are you not going to have to learn, hey, this is about Jesus. It ain't about me. This is about me carrying Christ. This ain't about my feelings. God. Idiot. You fool. What are you doing? Where are you going with that? None of your business. None of your business. Amen. I didn't know you believed in him. Well, now you do. Amen. What made you change your mind? What made you come out? I don't know. It just seemed like the time to do something. Amen. I hate to tell you, some of y'all are past time, but there's time to do something for God. Amen. We need people in this church who will stand up and do that radical thing you've been called to do and do it radically. Do it with fire. Do it with fervency. Do it like your hair's on fire. Stop tippy-toeing around and do it. I'm serious. Some of you, oh, I'm going to teach or I'm going to minister. Praise God, stop and really teach. Amen. Really preach. Dig into some stuff that would set your heart on fire when you were a kid. Amen. I'm afraid they won't like me. Who cares? They'll like you if you tell them the truth and you tell them it in love and you show them the way and they don't have to fall into every pitfall that you fell into. And even if you didn't fall into them and you're there telling the truth and you do it with passion, they'll be like, man, I want to be like that guy. And the ones who don't will always remember that somebody stood in the way and told them the truth. Amen. Even if they go into the worst parts of their life, in the darkest places, in the darkest valleys, and they don't know if they'll ever come out, they'll remember, somebody told me the truth. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you, and you know this to be true. The people that were the hardest in my life that loved me enough to call me on my stuff, I still remember them today as great people. And the people who let me get away with everything, the people who didn't care, I don't regard them very highly. Well, just do whatever you want to. Just get by. We'll give you a good grade. Just go on. I didn't really respect them, but the ones who said, oh no, mister, if you're going to be here, you're going to have to put out. I remember them to this day. Amen? The people that made you work harder. The people that had passion about what they taught. Passion about what they done. If you got passion, that will go a long way for somebody who needs it. Amen? Joseph Arminius said, can I have the body of Christ? I'm telling you, this is a testimony. This is epic proportions. Nicodemus, he's knocking, him and Joseph are knocking on the door of Pontius Pilate who can't understand why Jesus just won't go away. He thought he was done with Jesus. He washed his hands and everything. I'm done with this guy. Uh-uh. Here's Nicodemus and Joseph, who's a rich guy, standing at the door. We want that body. Are y'all crazy? Crazy in love with Jesus. Now, Joseph, I can see you're kind of nutty, but hey, Nicodemus, this is a whole new deal for you. You're a Pharisee. You're wearing this. Everybody's going to hate you. God, this is so fun. Y'all want to see it? Look at it. Verse 39. He's one of my favorite characters. I had to find a new way to preach this because I just wanted to preach it. And there came also Nicodemus. I love how it says it. Which at first came to Joseph. Or Jesus by night. Let's say it again. Which at first came to Jesus by night. Y'all remember him? Nicodemus? Hey, this is some time down the road, ain't it? Somewhere in this 3-year stretch. Sometime in this stretch, Nicodemus. Amen? He got the goods, didn't he? He got the goods. But hey, I hate to tell you, it didn't look real clear when he left Jesus in chapter 3. It didn't look clear. What, do I have to go back into my mom to be born again? No. Weird. Amen? But I love Nicodemus. He's one of my favorite characters because after he stood around and he listened to Jesus. He watched Jesus. He paid attention to Jesus. And he also knew what he already believed. Some of y'all need to hear this. Some of y'all got your mind made up. You can't be changed. You can't be molded. You can't learn because you won't listen and you won't look and you won't pay attention to what everybody else says. Guess what? There's Nicodemus who's sitting there going, I'm a Pharisee of Sadducees. I believe I'm a Pharisee. I think I'm going to get into heaven by what I do. But this Jesus, man, he's really rocking my world. His actions and his words are driving me insane. And one night he just couldn't take it anymore. Can y'all see him? I see him, man. I don't know if he's up at the temple or in his house, but he's just walking forward going, man, I just remember when you got saved, it kind of feels like that. Amen. I want to go, but I don't know why I want to go. I want to see more about him, but I don't know why. Because I think I'm good enough where I'm at, or at least that's all I know. But there's something in me saying there's more out there. And he's waiting and it's dark. And then all of a sudden he starts heading down into the city, man. You go walking to the city. He came to him by night. Every time it refers to Nicodemus, it's the one who came to him by night. Guess what? I hate to tell you this. We all come to him by night. We all got to come out of the darkness. Amen? It's every one of us look like Nicodemus. He was a righteous looking dude, but he is sneaking through town in the midnight and he's, I can just see him hiding behind windows and doors. Come on, it's a third world country, and he's walking through the city, and somebody opens the door to throw out some water, and somebody's like, right? What are you doing out? Because remember when you first came to Christ, you had to be cool at the same time, but you really wanted to see him, but you didn't know how it was going to work out. But something just keeps drawing this guy. He keeps on sneaking. Now I believe Jesus is in the third house down here. I heard. Ain't it funny that when you're looking for Jesus, you always find him? Because if you seek, you shall find. If you knock, he shall be open. You know what? Jesus ain't hard to find because he's looking for you. He's pulling him. He's drawing. He gets to the door. I wonder how long it took him to knock. I wonder if he even had to knock. Remember when you thought, I'll come to the altar, I'll make this great prayer, I'll say all this cool stuff. God, this is what I'll do to get God. And all of a sudden you get up there and you say, oh God, I'm just terrible. He's like, yeah, keep it coming. That's good. God, help me. I love it. I love when people come to me. This is me, not you, everybody. He goes to me and says, I don't know how to pray for salvation. Good. Neither do I. Just tell God you love him and you want him to be your Lord and Savior. Dump out all your sin and just pray to him. Man, you know what? I've heard some of the coolest prayers in my life when people really want to get saved. And you ain't gotta coach them. They go like this. God, I know that I'm not right. Will you make me right? Man, it's sweet when he does it. Amen? It's sweet. It's sweet. Nicodemus, I've begged artists forever, just paint me this picture. All I want is Jesus Nicodemus standing in the dark, Jesus standing in that doorway, the whole room lit up. I don't want to see any of the furniture or anything. I just want to see light, and I just want to see darkness behind Nicodemus, and they're just standing in that door looking at each other. This is my life. I know I look okay, and I pretend like I got everything under control, but we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Amen. Jesus is so smooth. He didn't wear him out. He didn't lead him. He didn't tell him all the commandments. You know what he said? Simple. Amen. You must be born again. Huh? No. See, I said cool religious stuff to you. I said you're a teacher. I called you rabbi. I said it surely. I said a bunch of cool spiritual stuff. You got to give me a little bit of reward. Give me some stuff here. You must be born again. Well, okay. How does that work? Well, it's just kind of like the wind blows. When it blows, you'll see the effects of it. Amen? See, if you get born again, amen, it'll be just like that. You'll see the effects in your life. It'll be like wind blowing a flag.
Amen.
You can't see the wind. Boy, but you can see the flag flying. Because the effects get on the flag, and you don't ever see the wind, but you say, man, the wind is really blowing today. Why? Because look, it's got an effect on that flag. It's got an effect on stuff. Guess what? When Jesus really gets in your life, nobody says, I see Jesus. They'll say, no, I see the effects of the Holy Spirit. I see the effects of Jesus on his or her life. Amen? So how are we going to do this? Do I go back into my mother's womb and be born the second time? No. You were born of the water. But now you got to be born of the Spirit. And I love this. I love this. This speaks so much. Because you know what? Well, you were born one time from your mom. And you know what? You can never be unborn. So when you get born in the Spirit, you can't get unborn again. And if you could, you'd make God a liar. Because then he would have to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But if you were born, but then you was unborn, he would be lying because then he knew you, and now he don't know you anymore. Oh. Ouch. I love Jesus. He's just so cool. Nicodemus said, how will these things be? And that's when it really gets good. Can y'all run over to John chapter 3 with me? John chapter 3. Nicodemus answered, this is verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus in verse 10 says, answered him and said, art thou the master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, that testify that we've seen, and you receive not our witnesses. So I've told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's one of the most popular verses in the Bible, but I like the next two just as well. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So if you believe on God, if you believe in Jesus, that he's the Son of God, and he died for your sins, you have a do not condemn sign on your forehead. And the only one that can see it's God, and that's the only one that matters. Whew. Y'all can do better than that. I'm serious. That should have been a shout the roofs down. Because man, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil will wear you out that you are condemned and you are no good. But if you are born again and you believe in Jesus Christ, you are not condemned. You say, what's the recipe? I believe in who Jesus is, therefore I am not condemned. Amen. That means, hey, I'm being honest with you. I'm sealed, and you are too. If you believe, you are sealed, and there's a seal that God sees on you, and it says, do not touch that. That's mine. Amen. Glory, glory. Y'all going to get the dose right here. I'm serious. That's good. That's shouting ground. I don't know where shouting ground is for you, but that is shouting ground. Because I don't know about you, but the devil tries to wear me out when I'm condemned. Oh, no good. You can go, hey, I am uncondemnable because I believe. I just believe in Jesus Christ. That's all I put my trust and faith in Him. That's all I got. That's enough. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I tell you this, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. You're walking around with condemned sign on you. No matter what you do. You know what he was telling Nicodemus right there? You look great, but you're condemned. You're walking around like you are religious, but you are condemned. Man, you don't think this was eating on him? We're going to get back to where we were. It's going to be cool. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Amen. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest the deed should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. People who are saved love light. People who are lost hate light. Let me explain that, because some of you are, that's very simplistic. It is simplistic, but it's kind of complicated too. See, I love the light that God runs into me when I've got hidden junk in my mind in the compartments of my life. Never mind. Y'all don't like that preaching, right? I like when God runs a light and he goes into the places, let's call them the closets of our minds. We don't mind to have him in the living room or the kitchen or a guest bedroom. But when he starts running off to the closet, maybe the closet of your children's room. No. Don't go in there. If you're a Christian, it hurts, it stings, it's painful, and all at the same time, it's wonderful. God's running a light into the painful places. I'm sitting there going, man, God, don't go there. Don't go there. That's a place I don't want you to look. And when God gets his light and shines it on that place, he says, when are we going to deal with this? I guess now, God. I guess right now. And that gets gritty. That gets gritty, don't it? Because we try to pretend like, man, we got it all going on. We got bitterness. We got anger. We got some stuff that we forgive. We'll give forgiveness to some people. We'll talk about God's forgiven us. Oh, I'm forgiven. I'm a believer. I'm forgiven from God. But we won't give it out. Amen. And God will run a light to that and sit there and go, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't answering no prayers. Some of y'all wonder, why won't God answer my prayers? Because he's sitting here going, wait a minute. You ain't going to deal with this unforgiveness and this bitterness and this anger, and we ain't going nowhere doing nothing until you get this right. Because it causes you to be bad. Man, as a Christian, golly, I love it when people come to me after service and say, preacher, you really stepped on my toes. You really kicked me out. I always tell them, listen, I don't do that. If that bothers you, listen, you got to do two things. Buy thicker shoes or work it out with God. And I'm being honest with you. Work it out with God, because I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep preaching. Everything he tells me to preach, I'm not going to hold anything back. So if it bothers you, don't get mad at the mailman. I'm just putting them in the mailbox, baby. I don't know why I said baby, but it was cool, wasn't it? You know why I do stuff like that? Because that's exactly the way God gives it to me.
And if you want, so I ain't got fine, fancy, well, I just got stuff that comes off the top and I'm going to run it out. You know what I mean? I love stuff like that. God's just cool. You see it? This is the last thing he says to Nicodemus. We don't even hear a word. Nicodemus stands up for Jesus in chapter 7, verse 50 for a minute. We see that. Y'all want to see it real quick? Yeah, you do, don't you? Y'all are a curious bunch. 7:50. But this people knoweth not the law or curse, verse 49. This is John chapter 7, verse 49. Now here's verse 50. Verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, here's the parentheses, y'all see it? He that cometh to Jesus by night being one of them. He's sitting on the Sanhedrin, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to condemn Christ. And here's where you can see a little bit of Nicodemus' conversion. He don't come out and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but he stands up for him. So it's kind of like a big deal. This is a huge deal, really. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth that what he doeth? Verse 52, and they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. That don't seem like a big deal to us, does it? But you know what that's like? That's like sitting in a big boardroom with all a bunch of people who don't believe, and you going, hey, can we pray before we get this thing started? It's like, you know, being a radical person who stands on the street and preaches Jesus Christ, and people walking by going, what in the world? That idiot. It's going to be a lot of times when people who are going to and fro in cities, and those street preachers are going to be the ones that they heard and walked by, and they're going to say stuff like, God, we never knew about you. And he said, yeah, I put a guy on your street that you walked right by every day before you went to work, and he told you about Jesus. He looked foolish and he sounded foolish to you, but he was right on. Can I tell y'all a cool story about that real quick? I will. All right. I like stories. All right, so we're going to go back to 19 in a minute, but we might not do a verse there, but I had a friend of mine I worked with at Shaw, and at this point, I was preaching everywhere. And I'm not bragging. We were preaching in ministries, restaurants, street preaching. I don't know if I said jail. YDC, homeless shelters, nursing homes. I mean, dude, it was weird. Every time I turned around, I was preaching somewhere different. And I love that. I just loved it. It was crazy. I was preaching in a nursing home one time, and a lady got stuck behind me in the piano area, and she couldn't get out. And she turned around, and she goes, would you shut up? I said, at least you're being honest. I kept preaching. Anyway, but anyhow, it was kind of weird. where was I in the story? Oh, but I was working at Shaw, and we had one of the worst jobs and one of the worst bosses, and a guy worked with me, and he was a truck driver, and when I first started working there, he heard that I was a preacher, and he was loading his truck, and he came up to me, and he said, I'm a preacher too. I'm like, awesome, man, where do you preach? He said, I don't get to preach a whole lot anymore. I used to preach a lot, but I don't anymore, but I'm still a preacher. I said, well, great, man. I'll be praying that God will open up doors of opportunity for you, right? So he comes in the next day, and he says to me, he says, my pastor asked me to preach, but I had somewhere I needed to be. And I was like, okay, well, that's cool, I guess. You know, just follow the Lord if that's what he... And he's like, then he asked me again if I'd do it on another date, and I don't know if I can make that date either. And I'm like, well, man, you might want to just check up and see if that's cool with God. And he's like, and he's a big Braves fan, and he's a big Jeff Gordon fan. I like Jeff Gordon, but the Braves I'm kind of soured on, okay? But anyway, some of y'all that don't like Jeff Gordon, you need to repent. It's all right. He's retired. It's okay. But anyway, he'd have his Jeff Gordon hat and his Braves jacket on, and he'd come in every day, and guess what? One Sunday, he went to the ball field to watch the Braves. And there's nothing wrong with going to a ball game every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with going on vacation. Your pastor ain't saying that. I'm just saying that's where he was going on a regular basis on his Sundays, and he was down there, and he's walking in, and a street preacher was preaching outside the ball field, and that next Monday morning, he came in, and he was ticked off. He was flinging boxes and doing stuff. I said, hey, man, what's wrong? He said, I'm mad. I said, whoa, what are you mad? I'd never seen him mad before. And I was helping him load his boxes on his thing, and I went with him. He goes, I need to tell you what happened to me. He goes, I was going to the Braves game Sunday. It's about 1 o'clock, and I was walking in, and there's a street preacher. And I was walking down to there, and I took my water bottle, and I said, you're doing a great job, man. And that dude looked at me and said, he goes, there's only one problem with you. God's called you, and you got the Braves on your heart and Jeff Gordon on your mind. You need to go back and serve God. He said, who does he think he is? I said, I don't think he's thinking of who he is. I think God just nailed you out there. I said, I think he just found you And he used that guy. He goes, man, I don't even want to talk to you anymore. No, I would have done the same thing. He came back that evening and he said, you know what? I need to get busy serving God. That dude nailed me. I mean, he nailed me straight up. I mean, he got me good. He didn't say anything to anybody else but me. I was like, well, what are you going to do? I think I need to get back to serving God. I'm going to call my pastor and tell him I'll be there for that date. Ain't that cool? That's cool. What I'm telling you for is, listen, that's how God works. He puts people in places that you think that they don't know what they're... God knows exactly what he's doing. And the more foolish it looks sometimes, that's even better. Let's finish this message. Are you all ready to finish it? Jesus talked about Nicodemus. You can go back to 19, but you don't have to because I'm going to just finish it off because I just want y'all to see it. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And if you'll remember when he came, he was probably dressed in the most perfect outfit. He was covered in religion. He probably met every stipulation the Levitical priest would be wearing, from the undergarments to the outer garments. And he probably looked like something to behold. But when we see the last of Nicodemus, see, what happened is they took aloes, about 100-pound weight, and they took the body of Jesus and they put it in a tomb, and he worked with the body of Jesus all night long, covering the blood was all over him. He was covered in the blood of Jesus. His religious garment from his head to his feet was just covered in Jesus. And he probably never knew what happened that night. But y'all got to get here with me. See, but when a baby's born, it's usually covered in blood. Amen? And he said, probably walking through the streets of Jerusalem on his way back home. See, he couldn't serve in a priestly manner if he touches a dead body before Passover. He's eliminated himself from religious work. Thank God. But he's walking like a newborn baby through the streets of Jerusalem, covered in the blood of Jesus, probably laughing and smiling, going, man, I'm free! I don't have to do anything anymore. I know who he is. I'm born again. I'm a baby in Christ. And I'm walking the streets of Jerusalem. I can't serve in the temple. I can't light the ceremonial candles. I can't say prayers with them. But I can know one thing for sure. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what's cool about that? This is 2017, right? Yeah, 2017. And we're not talking about anybody else, any other Pharisee by name. We're talking about one, Nicodemus. Ain't that cool? Talking about one other guy, Joseph. We're talking about two people's names who stood over 2,000 years because they decided to carry the body of Jesus. If you want to stand out through history, if you want to stand out through eternity, it's time that you stand up for Jesus. Amen. If you don't, you'll just be one of the people who went through this life and made all the wrong choices when it came to Christ. I believe every person in this room, one, you have an opportunity to be saved. Number two, I believe every saved person, God has a purpose and a time for you. And I believe you need to serve in that purpose and time. You need to stand up when God says to stand up, even when the timing stinks. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.